My name is Molly Aldridge, and I work for the Tobacco Prevention and Evaluation Program at UNC. And I'm going to talk a little bit about improving evaluation data quality by addressing some of the nuances in commonly used tobacco prevention and cessation indicators. And since this is a cessation session, I'll just go ahead and focus on just the cessation indicators. Almost every state has a tobacco control program of some sort, and each of the states uses its own, as far as I know, its own data collection system to determine how well their program is doing. And so there isn't a lot of data on the reliability of one system versus another, which can lead to grossly over or underestimating the success of programs, depending on what system they're using and how they're defining their measures, which makes, of course, comparisons across states impossible. So I should say that when we prepared this abstract, we kind of had in mind a roundtable. So if this seems a little strange, it's because it's kind of meant to be sat around a table, sort of hashing it out together. But I'm going to try to just do my best to sort of explain what we were thinking. I'm going to start by giving a little context and explaining a little bit about the North Carolina statewide tobacco control program. In 2003, the Master Settlement Agreement funds went to fund the North Carolina Health and Wellness Trust Fund in North Carolina. And one of their major initiatives is the Teen Tobacco Use Prevention and Cessation Initiative. It funds about 46 grantees across the state, community grantees, as well as a few statewide grantees that address gap counties and also priority populations. And the grantees do work in the four major goal areas of initiation, secondhand smoke exposure reduction, cessation, and eliminating tobacco-related health disparities. And UNC, we are the independent evaluators. So our evaluation uses indicators that are based on logic models, which are based on best practices. And we use the CDC key indicators for the most part, which I've found most states use, but I think we all sort of tweak them to our own needs, which of course makes sense because all of our community programs are doing different things. Our evaluation is mostly process. It has some outcome indicators. Actually, our evaluation is outcome and process, but what I'm going to talk about tonight is just how we collect the process data, or process evaluation data. So we're mostly looking at evaluating the outputs on our logic model. Each month, the 46 grantees fill out a monthly progress report, and it's they're reporting their progress on the indicators that have been set forth for them by us and by the Health and Wellness Trust Fund. And they do that using a system called the Indicator Progress Tracking System, which is IPTS, and it's now web-based, so we call it the WIPTS, WIPTS. Grantees report on 28 different indicators across those four goal areas. So each month, as I said, the grantee fills out the forms, then the data goes to UNC, and that's UNC School of Medicine Tobacco Prevention and Evaluation Program. We have a couple of reviewers that look at the data, and then so we compare for inter-rater reliability. And then we clean the data and send our reports to the Health and Wellness Trust Fund, the funders. So here's an example of what something we would clean looks like. So say the indicator is the number of smoke-free policies adopted. And a grantee writes in and says, "We worked with a local restaurant to create a non-smoking section on one side of their dining area." And they report that as one smoke-free policy adopted, so one unit. And we look at it and we say, oh, well, they only have a non-smoking section, so that's not really a 100% smoke-free policy. It doesn't really fit our definition of that indicator, so we change it to be zero. So that's an error. We would just call that an error in their data. This is just a quick screenshot of the WIPTS system. And as I talk about sort of error rates and that sort of thing coming up, what we're talking about are these units. So each month they'll say, for example, I produced two media messages, or I produced five media messages. And what we're going to do is talk about what does that mean? What is a media message? Exactly. Initially, we cleaned this data based on brief operational definitions that we had established in a code, in a bit of a haphazard way, and we internally compared as two reviewers were cleaning the data. We had some internal decision rules that weren't completely communicated to the grantees, which resulted in a pretty high level of error. For example, in year one of our sort of taking a look at this, there were 2,218 errors in the year's worth of data, which is a lot, and of course it takes a lot of time and resources to do that cleaning. So our goal was to improve the data quality by creating detailed definitions addressing as many nuances as possible, and we'll talk a little bit more about nuances so you know exactly kind of what I'm talking about, and also to create a codebook to disseminate those decision rules. So addressing nuances, these are sort of meant to, as I said, really nail down some solid, full, detailed definitions to correspond with these indicators. And they should be based on the experience of reading through reports of community level grantees, and they need to address what qualifies as an indicator unit change, and also how one of those indicator units should be quantified. And hopefully this example will help it make a little bit more sense. So we have a cessation indicator, which is the number of youth cessation media or promotional messages published or aired. The first thing we needed to do is refine the definition. So what counts as a media message? As many of you may know, when you work with the community programs, they're doing a lot of different things. So they're making flyers, or they're sending out emails, or they're sitting in on radio talk shows, all sorts of things that they're doing. And some things our funders wanted to know about, some things they didn't want to know about, and some things we didn't really consider to be a media message or a promotional message. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that we need to come together and decide on what should be a media message. And it would be nice if all states could do that together so that we could actually compare between states. So that's one part, refining the definition, what actually is a media message. The next question is refining the count. So do all media messages count the same? Would a poster that's made by a youth group count the same as your local cable or your local network doing a spot on the 6 o'clock news? As we were cleaning the data, we just find, it felt like tens of thousands of these little things. Well, should this count? How should it count? You know, if they're distributing a flyer, and they distribute the same flyer in multiple schools, and within the month, is it one unit for each school that the flyer is distributed to, or is it just one unit because it was just one media message? So, just getting these things nailed down. Another example is the number of presentations or meetings promoting the Quit Line, the NOT program, or 5A counseling for youth, or we have it's called NC STEP, which is a spit tobacco cessation program. Same thing, what counts as a meeting? If you meet with just over the phone, is that a meeting? Or some people were trying to report emails as a meeting. We kind of limited it to some sort of direct face-to-face or telephone contact. And then also refining the count for this one, an example question would be, if you hold a meeting with representatives from three different schools, is that one unit or three units? So we did kind of nail down as much as we could and put them all into this code book, which here's just a page from the code book. It's embedded now into our web-based data collection system so they can go and see exactly what we're looking for with each one and exactly what should count. We found after we did this codebook that the grantees were very thankful for it. It really helped give them direction to what they were doing, and they felt the confusion that we were seeing later on. But we really did notice that the data quality improved, and it improved significantly. there is a recognized potential benefit of discussions with the other states in terms of reducing the time and resources spent by each state individually. I feel like I'm in my office doing the same thing that somebody, you know, trying to make the same decisions that somebody in Kansas is trying to make. And also it will allow for a national evaluation. So our recommendation is that there is a greater standardization of at least a minimum data set across statewide programs. We recognize that that each state is going to have their individual measures that they need to take, but it would be nice if we had just a set of 10 or so indicators, and not just by states, but also in your individual programs, if you do your personal evaluations, if we could have a standardized definition for some of those major commonly used indicators, media messages, that sort of thing. And the operational definitions should be based on best practices, of course, and also on the broad experience of community level grantees, so they should definitely be in on the writing of these definitions. And of course they should be widely disseminated so that everyone knows what everyone else is doing. And I think we're saving questions for after. So.